Welcome again to Health and Happiness, a regular program on KGVM 95.9 FM in Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Radio. Thank you so much for listening to this community radio station. On this program, we have had a variety of topics regarding health and happiness, and hopefully you have been able to listen to many of them. If you did not listen to them live, you can go to kgvm.org and go to the website there, look up Health and Happiness, and most of the programs that we have recorded there, you can listen and hopefully be highly informed about the area of health and happiness. Some of the topics in the past have covered local agencies like the Help Center, the YMCA. We've also had groups of people who have unfortunately suffered the tragedy of a family member or someone near them engaging in suicide. And that is a very difficult program to listen to, but very helpful. Last week, we had someone talking to us on postpartum depression. You also may hear me cough occasionally during this broadcast, but forgive me, my co-host, Dr. Suzanne Wood, I'm Dr. Arliss Wood, will tell you some more about what's going on tonight.
This evening, we're so pleased to have Dr. Michelle McKinney. She's a local psychologist. She also works with the American Psychological Association as a representative of the Montana Psychological Association and is a very prominent psychologist within our neighborhoods here. And good evening, Dr. McKinney. It's very nice to have you with us.
Good evening, Dr. Wood, and good evening, Dr. Wood. It's nice to be here.
And what we'd like for Dr. McKinney to do for us is to talk about her experience as a psychologist, maybe what a psychologist is, how you become one, and then also the national prerogatives right now occurring at the national level with the American Psychological Association. And so we'll just begin with you telling us a little bit about your past education and how you came to become a psychologist.
Okay, I'll start there. To become a psychologist, one has to achieve a doctoral degree in psychology. I have a doctoral degree in clinical psychology. But if someone is a psychologist as a therapist, they can also have a degree in counseling psychology, and there are some differences in those areas. But I attended undergraduate. I'm actually Canadian, so I attended my undergraduate education at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. And then I worked for a time at a residential treatment program for severely emotionally disturbed children and adolescents, and that was in British Columbia. And I decided at that time I was exposed to some psychology graduate students who worked at the treatment center, and I got interested in pursuing a doctoral degree in psychology. And so I applied in Canada and the United States, and I chose a program at Pacific University School of Professional Psychology in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, that's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place.
And I graduated from the University of Oregon undergrad and worked up at the medical school on the hill there in Portland.
Oh, so, at OHSU?
Yeah.
Oregon Health Sciences.
Yeah. But that was long ago, and so you ended up in Portland, Oregon, pursuing a doctoral degree in psychology. That's wonderful. Do you could you tell us a little bit about the need for psychologists in the state of Montana?
I can. Yeah, I ended up in Montana for my internship, and I worked at the Montana State University Counseling Center before I graduated, and then did my postdoctoral training hours at the Montana State Hospital. So I worked for 2 years at Warm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the need for psychologists in Montana is very great. The need for mental health services in Montana is very great. In particular, unfortunately, Montana typically has one of the highest rates of suicide in the country. And so I think access to care is an issue in Montana, and certainly the number of providers in particularly the rural areas of the state is a very high need for most of the Montana residents. So I think that that's one of the main issues. Mm-hmm. Certainly there are other problems that are not as profoundly devastating as suicide, but I think people with chronic anxiety disorders and depression that doesn't reach the level of suicidal ideation or attempts, those are as prevalent in Montana as they are anywhere else in the country. I also think Montana has a high percentage of veterans. Here we are on Veterans Day. Thank everybody for their service. But Montana has a high percentage in population in veterans, and certainly post-traumatic stress disorder and suicidal ideation and mood disorders are prevalent in our veteran population as well. So I think there's a strong need for mental health care and treatment.
And speaking of care and treatment, I just wanted to ask where you practice and if you could tell us where you're located and maybe even give a phone number should anybody need further information.
Sure. I work at the Big Sky Psychological Consortium. That's a mouthful, but it's over off of Ellis, 1648 Ellis. We're up on the third floor. The phone number is 406-586-3301. And I work with some other psychologists, local psychologists, and also we train postdoctoral residents in at our group. So we have individuals who have completed their doctoral training and are doing the required supervised experience between graduation from school and achieving their licensure to practice independently in Montana.
Oh, that's good.
I know many people do not know the different types of mental health professionals. They know if they have an issue and they want to go see someone, perhaps for their emotional behavioral issues. Could you give us maybe a brief overview of what a psychologist is and perhaps how it's different from some of the others?
Sure. Psychologists are trained at, they all have a doctoral degree, like I said, in clinical or counseling psychology, or sometimes in school psychology. And that's essentially what will distinguish a psychologist from a licensed professional counselor, for example, who typically has achieved a master's degree or is licensed at the master's level. A licensed clinical social worker also tends to provide psychotherapy services, and they have a master's degree in social work and then I think some additional clinical training. All of the behavioral health care providers, mental health providers have to go through a certain level of education, and psychologists with their doctoral degree have the most years of school typically, and then they have to do some post-degree training where they are supervised by someone who is currently licensed in the field.
And then, of course, be licensed in the state in which he or she is practicing. I guess that would be true of all the mental health practitioners. Many people still confuse psychiatrists with psychologists. Tell us some about that.
Okay. I agree with you. I think that's true. A psychiatrist is someone who has achieved a medical degree, so they have an MD. And then they, I'm not really sure what the specifics of their training are, but I believe that they must go on and do a psychiatric residency or fellowship where they are trained specifically in, after their medical training, they get trained in medication management. I think it depends on the program, how much training program, how much training they get in psychotherapy. But certainly they're trained in prescribing medications for psychotropic medications for different mood disorders and other psychiatric symptoms. And a psychologist in Montana currently is only has license to practice psychotherapy, which can be talk therapy, it can be behavior therapy, There's different kinds of talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, psychodynamic therapy. There's different schools of therapy. In other states, some psychologists actually have gone and done some extra training in psychopharmacology, and they're able to prescribe psychotropic medications as well as do therapy.
You know, Dr. Wood here has done that psychotropic work and gotten the extra educational benefits of learning about prescribing medications, but here in Montana, it's a different situation from those states you mentioned. However, a person needing medication and wanting psychotherapy might see a psychiatrist then, along with seeing a psychologist for counseling.
That's correct. Or a psychiatric nurse practitioner is someone who might also be able to provide medications. And lots of people get antidepressants from their family practice doc or their internist.
I've read more often from the family physician than any other source, it seems, on the psychotropics. So, in fact, last week we had a family practitioner talk about postpartum depression, and she mentioned some about the psychotropics that might be appropriate for a woman having
while breastfeeding, she could take her antidepressants. And that was a fascinating program about how we can't overlook when people seem depressed, particularly postpartum, that we need to take it seriously and do everything we can to help, perhaps referral to a psychologist like you. But, yeah, that was a discussion about some of the psychotropics, too.
I think that's helpful.
I have to say, Dr. McKinney, I've known her not that long. We've only been in Montana for 2 years and part of MPA for probably a little over a year. But I know that Dr. McKinney does a great amount of work with the Montana Psychological Association. I think are you past president?
I'm past president,
past,
yes.
Past president. And also that you are work with the American Psychological Association. Tell us some about your work in these two organizations.
Okay. I've been on the board of the Montana Psychological Association, oh my gosh, maybe since 2007, possibly. It's a volunteer board, and so I was invited by one of my colleagues and mentors to join in 2007, and I was treasurer for 2 terms, so that meant 6 years, and then I was elected by the membership as president, and that is also a 6-year term, 2 years of president-elect, 2 years of president, and 2 years of past president. So currently, I'm not a voting member on the board, but I am chair of the legislative committee, the state legislative committee.
And what does that do?
The legislative committee and the chair of the committee, we're responsible for paying attention to legislation that may be being drafted at the state level. Any legislation that may affect us in terms of the practice of psychology within the state or licensure issues, but also any legislation that might adversely affect some of the people we serve here in Montana.
Sure.
And that has involved over the years. I have gone and testified in front of committees on several bills, and we pay attention, myself and our executive director, and the members of the committee and the board pay attention to what's happening legislatively. One of the things we did, not the last session I saw, I think it was 2017, in the 2017 session, we worked with behavior analysts in the state, actually, to develop language for a bill that would help them be independently licensed within the state. This is an issue that's happening nationally that psychologists are aware of, because there is some overlap between the populations that behavior analysts work with and the populations that psychologists work with. Behavior analysts work a lot with, or primarily with, people who've been diagnosed with autism. And so we worked with the representative from the behavior analysts group to develop bill language that actually worked to be in the greatest benefit to the behavior analysts, to psychologists, and to the people that they serve in terms of allowing them to be independently licensed. And it was really an exciting process. And
what an excellent collaboration.
It was very collaborative. I was really pleased about that. And we also worked with the Board of the Montana Board of Psychologists to work on rulemaking, and it got signed by the governor. So it was very exciting to be a part of that from beginning to end. Yeah.
Now, you're also very active with the American Psychological Association. Your job there is...
I have a couple of different positions there. Let's see. I am currently acting representative on the APA Council of Representatives. I represent Montana Psychological Association, so I represent Montana psychologists there. That's a relatively new position for me, so I've attended one meeting. But essentially, that is the group that helps draft the bylaws of the American Psychological Association. So I'm trying to think about how to explain. It's a large group of people. There are representatives from all the various divisions and state and provincial psychological associations. And we meet twice a year and talk about bylaws and essentially do the rulemaking of the association. Governance of the association.
There are some ongoing, very interesting topics at the federal level in Congress that psychologists are interested in. Is one of them one that Senator Tester is involved with?
Sure, and that certainly, I think one of the things, I'm going to back up just for a minute and I'll come back to your question. I think one of the things that psychologists care about lots of different things, and I think that doctorally trained psychologists work in science and work in the public interest and work in education and also work in practice. And so the APA actually advocates in all four of those areas, and I think this bill that you're referring to has been put forth by Senators Tester and Grassley, so it's a bipartisan bill.
Grassley's from Iowa, I think, is it?
He is in Iowa. Mm-hmm. It's called the Seeding Rural Resilience Act, and it's essentially working with farmers to assist farmers with the hardships that they face and the in terms of financial issues, but also Senator Tester has worked with some representatives from the American Psychological Association to help include mental health access for farmers who may be experiencing suicidal ideation or really desperation in any number of ways.
And we've been talking with the Farm Bureau in Montana, and hopefully we'll have a show coming soon where we will be addressing the farm issues that are before the state of Montana specifically, but you at the national level working with the American Psych Association are helping to address it nationally with Senator Tester and Senator Grassley. So that's very encouraging to hear, because they do have almost a crisis situation. We've been hearing with their suicide rates going up right now, and they're very, very fundamental to everything about America. So I'm so proud to hear that you're working to support this group particularly.
Sure. And actually the APA, reached out to the Montana Psychological Association to talk with us about the bill language and the bill before it went out. And so they're very collaborative, actually. The National Association is very collaborative with our state psychological association. And then there are a number of other groups who are also supporting the Tester-Grassley bill. It's not just the American Psychological Association. There's a number of farm associations. The National Alliance on Mental Illness is supportive of it. So they've really done a lot of advanced legwork, I think, in the development of the bill and the bill language. And I think that's one of the nice things, actually, about being able to have relationships with our state and national representatives, is that it allows us, as either the National Association or the State Association, to collaborate early in the process, even before the bill language has actually been developed, and have some say about, or some input with the staffers about mm-hmm. what kinds of issues we want to be sure get included in the bill before it even hits the committee.
Well, of course, I think you should be giving information. You're the ones who are working with the situation and with the people and would be the best suited to give suggestions about how to go about this. So I'm really happy to hear that our counseling groups are working to support this effort. I know even down in Oklahoma, where we visited recently and went to psychological conferences, that there are other groups that are also working toward these ends. And so what is the outlook? What are senators thinking at this point will be happening? Do you think there's a good chance it's going to pass?
Well, I don't know. It's pretty early in the process. I think it's in the, I'm not sure what committee it's in now.
Okay.
So it's in committee. It hasn't hit the floor yet,
okay.
As far as I know. But I think there's a lot of support. There's a lot of support from stakeholders, a number of farm groups and agriculture groups, as well as mental health association groups, those kinds of things. So I do want to just say, while we're talking about this, I want to make sure that I give out the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. If any of our listeners are actually, they know someone or they themselves are struggling, the number is 1-800-273-8255. So 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K.
Very good.
Yes,
by all means.
Yeah. And then also in the Gallatin Valley, we have the Help Center. And I know you said you've had some people on, but that number is 406-586-3333. And then Montana also has a 211 helpline that can give you resources, not just for mental health services, but also if you have needs related to housing or access to food. So from anywhere in Montana, you can call 211 and you probably will be connected to a more local, even if you're not in the Gallatin Valley, a local resource line that can give you some information about that too.
So that was 211 for general information and specific referral information.
Yeah.
And then you gave us the other numbers for the local and national prevention lines.
That's right. Yeah.
I know a lot of people listening perhaps don't understand why many of us in certain professions talk to legislators about specific issues and are surprised to find out that, and I was surprised when I first started doing this kind of thing, that most of them are very good listeners, that you have an issue, you're a voter, you live in his or her district, and you call up and maybe an assistant will make a time for you to come and talk. And most of the time you can have an audience, at least for a few minutes, with someone who represents you, even in the United States Congress, about an issue that's really important. And if it should be one, too, that's a great need in your community, in the population in which you live, they will, of course, give it even more precedence. And so I would urge any of you who have an issue, particularly the one that we're interested in tonight in our professions with health, happiness, mental health, that you make a time to talk to your legislator, both in your state and then perhaps at the national level. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I do know that we lived in Oklahoma before my other Dr. Wood here and I. We lived there many years before we moved to Texas and then to Montana. That I was part of the Legislative Affairs Committee at the OPA, Oklahoma mm-hmm. Psychological Association, And we went to Washington, I believe, in the late, I'm not sure, 70s, when psychologists were not in Medicare. Mm-hmm. And interesting story, Senator Rockefeller, Jay Rockefeller, was then a Democratic senator from West Virginia. Well, he had in his district a lot of rural areas, a need for mental health, and people that were needing health, and the government or other insurances would not pay for it. So there was a psychologist in West Virginia that was at this APA meeting where Senator Rockefeller was, and he made a point of getting Senator Rockefeller's interest about what was going on in the remote parts of his district where the rural and the mountain people lived and needed lots of help. Long story short, a bill was sponsored by Senator Rockefeller and others to include psychologists in Medicare. Mm-hmm. You might say, because of one person going and getting an audience and describing what was needed and a receptive ear on the part of Senator Rockefeller. And from there, it went to the Senate Finance Committee. The bill was formed, and the Senate Finance Committee just happened to have as its chair the Oklahoma Senator Boren, David Boren at the time. So I recall very clearly when three or four of the psychologists and I sat down with Senator Boren, because as you mentioned earlier, bills go to committees, mm-hmm. and they can die there, mm-hmm. or they can get new life. But because, and partly, and who knows for all the reasons, but Senator Boren listened to us, he passed the bill out of the Finance Committee, it became law. So a psychologist became a provider in Medicare for the first time. And I'm getting there. I don't know the exact date. It was late 70s, early 80s. I think it might have been mid-80s in which that was done. Just to make the point, as you were stating, that Senator Tester and others would be willing to listen to people with concerns, particularly health concerns for their people. And obviously it has merit because we all know that mental health was not easily paid for by any insurance companies until relatively recently. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a senator from New Mexico, because of a personal issue with his own family member having a serious mental illness, that he sponsored a bill that got insurance companies to loosen up to include psychologists and other types of psychotherapy for those with mental disorders, emotional behavioral issues. And once again, though, a personal story, a real story, an honest presentation of a person's needs, either through an advocate or through the person, him or herself, to someone who has power, the ability to write a bill, to see that it gets through committee and to the Congress, voted on and passed, whereby like insurance companies and health associations have to abide by those rules. And in our society, obviously health care costs money, and some get it through insurance, others get it through, you might say, state-run insurance like Medicaid, or those of us older through Medicare. Mm-hmm. But it's very important that we all lobby, if you will. That's has taken on a negative connotation, to be a lobbyist. But it simply means that you have an issue and you go to someone who has interest in it and power and control, and you tell your story, and they say, good idea, I'll work on that. And then you follow through and you get larger and larger groups. Mm-hmm. And this sounds kind of maybe bad, but congressmen, senators, representatives, they want to be reelected. And you know what? In this America capitalistic system, as we all appreciate, that it takes money. And any small amount of money that one can contribute to a legislator to help in reelection, if you believe in them and you believe in their cause, would be helpful. So they don't ask for it. Well, they do ask for it, but they don't specifically say, you can only talk to me if you pay me.
Right.
But what they do tell you, and as we all know, that if you work for me, you knock on doors, you man the telephone lines, and maybe give a small contribution, I obviously will listen to you more than someone who just calls me up and yells at me. And so all of you listening, lobby for your causes. We'd like for you to lobby for mental health causes. And tonight we have Dr. McKinney, who's telling us about a very important piece of legislation that I assume is probably working its way through the process.
I think
right
it's
now.
In the agricultural committee.
In the agriculture committee.
Yeah.
And he, Tester is, I assume, on that.
Tester, I'm not sure. And Grassley, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, and I would just like to second, actually, one of the other opportunities I've had as a result of being in the leadership of the Montana Psychological Association is I was able to, or have been able to, participate in what was formerly called the State Leadership Convention, but is currently the Practice Leadership Convention, which is an APA, conference. It's an APA conference that's put on every year in March for people who are involved in their state, provincial, territorial association in the leadership. So presidents-elect, presidents, we have federal advocacy coordinators who work at the federal level on national issues. Medicare is one, actually, still, a particular part of Medicare. But as a result of this conference, every March we have a Hill Day, so we get trained on what the current issues are. Often they're practice issues, although we are broadening our ability to be able to also discuss social justice issues that may be of importance, people on border states talking about immigration and things of that nature, issues that are that affect our society, not just our practice. But we've been able to go and meet with our representatives at the federal level, and I have had the opportunity over the last number of years to actually speak in person with Senator Tester and Senator Daines and Representative Gianforte, and or their staffers, former legislators who were in office before those three, but those are our current at the moment. And they're very open to listening to what our concerns are. And they actually have taken more time than you might think to sit down and talk with us and listen to what's happening in Montana and what we're experiencing as providers and what our clients and patients are experiencing. And they've been very receptive. Those of us who've gone more than once, they often recognize us in the hallway. If they run into us in the hallway, they may not know, remember what profession we're representing, but they seem to remember our faces, and they're really open to hearing what we have to say.
I know back in Oklahoma, when we were both so involved in the political scene as advocates for our professional groups and for those that we serve, then we would go and we would help when it came time to for these people to be reelected. These people like Senator Tester and some of the others you mentioned that really do help with the issues that pertain to our people. And it can become a friendship, really. It's just something that, until you've tried it, you don't realize that everybody working together for a common issue, you can make change.
I think that is, I have really experienced that to be true, both at the state level and the national level. And I think this, your comment earlier about how collaborative the process can be, it isn't always that way,
I don't think.
No.
But it certainly can be, and certainly I think that's the Montana Psychological Association anyway. We really try to work in as collaborative a way as we can at the state level, and I think APA as well. They work in a bipartisan way to collaborate with people to forward not just the profession of psychology, but also the things that really matter to make our lives better.
Exactly.
I'd like to add that I've always been very proud of American Psychological Association, that it seems to be on the forefront of many social issues, things that are sometimes not easily dealt with by the general populace, like immigration issues. Of course, that brings up a lot of hard feelings on one side or the other, because it's not going the way that group wants it to go, or whether it be with sex and gender issues, or dealing with issues of war and peace or whatever, is that I like the social stance that APA takes. Controversial at times.
It can be. But I think one of the things that is very important, you know, that psychology is a science, and that we, any advocacy we do at the state level or the national level is really based in science and research and
looking
data.
For facts.
Yes, exactly. That it isn't about, it isn't just about opinions or feelings. It's about what does the data show.
And that's a good feeling when you're approaching things being research-based. And so you're trying to say, let's find the truth of this situation and let's not fall down on one side or the other politically or emotionally. We just need to see if we can investigate. Now, it's not always that simple to do those investigations, but I think the APA and the NPA are both attempting to reach out and help people through some of these difficult issues that we all face.
Yeah.
You may have already talked about this while I went out on my coughing issue here, but I think in your current practice, do you have any area that you feel like that, not that you prefer to see this group maybe more than the other, but that you tend to have a practice that deals more with children, families, adolescents, or just a general practice?
I have more of a general practice, I think, because of the population in the state and the smaller number of psychologists. I think there's maybe somewhere between 200 and 250 active psychologist licenses in the state.
In the entire state,
I think we tend to be more generalists. Certainly, maybe as the population increases and as we get more mental health professionals into the state, maybe psychologists will specialize more. But I work with adults, adolescents, through as old as you want to come and participate in therapy. I am a Medicare provider, so I will work with people over the age of 65. And do and have and have find that quite rewarding, actually, too. So there aren't a lot of Medicare providers in Bozeman, anyway, or psychologists.
One thing we haven't mentioned today, we've talked about counseling, psychotherapy. We haven't talked about evaluation that is performed by psychologists. So talk to us about if people, when they might seek evaluation for themselves, a family member, a child, perhaps.
Sure.
Give us some idea of what's available in evaluation.
Sure, yeah. By definition, our training, psychologists are probably the most qualified to do a number of different types of psychological assessments, everything from learning disability assessments to through personality assessments. And I think other providers can get some focus in some of those areas, but psychologists are do things like, I mean, I think colloquially we think of it as IQ testing, but really it's cognitive testing to look at a number of different cognitive strengths and patterns. And there's also neuropsychology, which is a particular specialty in people who are having memory difficulties or you know, someone who might be having an early onset dementia or someone who's had a traumatic brain injury. Those individuals might seek out some neuropsychological testing. But general, a comprehensive psychological evaluation will look at what your strengths and weaknesses are in terms of how quickly you process information and how well you remember information. But it will also look at some personality functioning, things like mood disorders and issues of that sort. And I think people get psychological assessments oftentimes if there is a need for diagnostic clarification, if a psychiatrist or your therapist isn't really clear on what diagnosis is most appropriate when diagnosis guides treatment. Oftentimes, you could be referred for a psychological evaluation for diagnostic clarification. If you have a learning disability and you need accommodations at school, that would be a time to refer a child or a college-age student for psychological testing. I know that some adoption agencies require personality testing. Mm-hmm. Certainly, the courts will order testing for parenting plan evaluations at times in a custody evaluation situation. So there's lots of different circumstances under which one would undergo a psychological evaluation.
So you do some forensic work at times?
I actually don't do forensic work. I do. I have colleagues who do. Okay. That isn't an area of specialty for me. So, and I want to be careful about wading into something like that that isn't, I think people ought to find a psychologist who actually specializes in that.
And there are some in the state.
There are some in the state, definitely. Because usually when it's a forensic situation, the stakes are pretty high, and I want someone to be sure that they're getting taken care of in those ways. But our postdoctoral residents and some of my new colleagues, they like to do psychological evaluations at my office, Big Sky Psych. So they are able to do that, and sometimes insurance will pay for those. They're fairly extensive. They provide a great deal of information. They require probably, 10 to 15 hours of work at least, which involves sitting and doing some tests and things like that. So we don't do neuropsychological testing. People at the hospital do that, but I have colleagues there who do that.
I know there's an area of psychology many of us, especially the older ones like myself, didn't pay a lot of attention to in our practices earlier, is the whole area of self-care. How does a mental health worker, a psychologist, take care of him or herself? We're in the business of trying to help other people learn to take care of themselves. What do you do to take care of yourself?
Oh, dear.
This ought to be interesting, hearing psychologists talk about self-care.
What do you do for yourself?
What do I do for myself? Well, the first thing that pops into my mind, honestly, is that I dance.
Hey.
Yeah.
Like your daughter?
Like my daughter, I only do tap, but but I tap dance.
And you do tap dance?
I do tap dance.
How long have you done tap dance?
Most recently, I think this is maybe my third or fourth year, maybe in lessons here. I used to dance when I was a teenager. Uh-huh. I danced since I was six. So
you do it just for fun?
I do. Uh-huh. I take lessons because it's fun to get better. But there's also a local community dance group called Independance, and they are a group of it's a nonprofit in town who put on a show every fall in September at the Ellen.
What a fundraiser.
So you perform.
I do. I perform, and along with a number of other. I think this last year we had over 100 dancers and something like close to 20 choreographers.
And you can stay in shape that way.
I suppose that's true. Yes, tap dancing is a good workout, but it's also a way at the end of a long day. It helps me smile.
Yeah. So you do it at least once a week?
Once a week. Mm-hmm. Once a week.
It seems like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
One thought we could take from this is that something fun.
Yes, something fun. I spend time with my friends. I spend time with my daughter. I like to ski in the winter, living in Bozeman. That's a nice opportunity to do that. And I knit and crochet and...
Well, good.
Yeah.
So you have hobbies, you have interests. You don't have to think about all those serious matters so much when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You can get lost in it.
Yeah.
And at the next Montana Psychological Association convention, we can have you perform.
I see trouble coming.
Only if you'll get up there with me.
Oh, no. Dancing, she is good at it. I am not.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I was just thinking, too, I know we have a daughter who's a psychologist.
Yes.
And she has had programs with children, programs for grandmothers who are raising their grandchildren, and has done a lot of work with youth. Other psychologists, I know we have one in the state who works at the Native American Reservation. So, and then some specialize in evaluation and in-depth testing. Tell us some other ways that psychologists could ply their trade. I'm thinking of a listener out there who might be a college student or a young person thinking of going into the field. What are some variations on what we've described here?
Oh, and not just in Montana, but
nationwide. Yes, anywhere.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that's been interesting to me, actually, in some of the information I get from the American Psychological Association is there's an opportunity to be a fellow. I'm not going to get the title of it accurately, but where you can actually go and work in Congress as a psychologist working, I'm not sure if it's lobbying or being involved, it's in being involved in some way in the federal government. And I remember when I was in high school learning about people who were pages in the the Canadian government and thinking how interesting that would be to have an opportunity to do that. But that was something you did when you were in high school. This is actually something you do once you have, I think probably as a fellowship. So,
and they actually, now that you bring that up, that reminds me in Oklahoma, they had a psychologist of the day.
Well, it's the only state that does that. Others have tried. Well, again, years ago, again, when I was more active in the OPA, but we were able to get not only hire lobbyists and get all that going, but for some reason, well, there was a senator, long story short, I have all the stories, he was a friend who was the head of the Senate in Oklahoma, and he helped get psychologists, they have Doctor of the Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Nurse of the Day. And someone said, well, why don't you have Psychologist of the Day? Well, why not?
That's a neat
so
idea.
For about 20 years now, or maybe 30, I don't know how long it's been.
But it's great because if there's a crisis that comes up or you have a need for a mental health discussion, there's a Psychologist of the Day.
The real issue,
you're right,
I think,
that
is the representation.
Could be carried out even further.
Yeah.
That is represented there with all of the legislators that is an important mental health profession, and actually they have gotten to the point they consult and ask about even personal issues on the side and all that kind of thing. But there's not any therapy that goes on or testing, but it's more of a interpersonal representation for the profession. And hey, we might try that here at NPA.
That's not a bad idea. But I think to continue to answer your question, I think psychologists I'm working do a lot of research on a lot of issues that are.
That was going to be my next question. What about all the great fund of research that you all provide to our world? I'm very impressed with all the studies that I see that help us.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that I could tell you the magnitude of work that research happens. I went to the APA convention this summer in Chicago, and students present their research, and I think these are students working in the areas of learning and behavior, so literally working with pigeons and rats and other animals in a lab. There are people doing memory testing. I attended an interesting talk, people who do sports psychology and applied psychology, and what was interesting to me was not only was it with athletes sort of in a more traditional sense, like thinking about football teams or soccer teams, but it was people who were figure skaters or dancers in their earlier lives who then, due to injury or just interest, they were unable to continue in their career as young people, and so they went into graduate school and studied sports psychology and now consult with dance companies and
many sporting teams.
Yes, many sporting teams, and so And there's all kinds of research in efficacy of interventions and approaches for working in performance psychology. There's research in positive psychology, so attitudes, and there's research in working with people from other ethnic or cultural backgrounds. You mentioned someone who's working on a reservation, and certainly there are a number of psychologists in the state who work on all or many, most of the reservations here, mm-hmm. But also urban Indian centers and things like that here mm-hmm. too in Montana. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. And so a young person entering the field could perhaps open an office, set out a shingle, and be a private practitioner, or could work in the hospitals mm-hmm. with another group of neuropsychiatric type psychologists. They could teach at the universities and do research, mm-hmm. and then they could work with human beings of any age, from
yes.
neonatal units on all the way up to determining what is possible.
I think there's industrial or business.
That's right.
You know, which, tell us something about that.
Well, I don't have a degree in industrial organizational psychology, but I do know that there are people who consult with high-level executives on leadership kinds mm-hmm. of issues, but there's certainly also psychologists who work in industry everywhere from helping the workers, the employees, be more efficient or have a more positive work environment, all the way to making sure technical manuals mm-hmm. actually the language makes sense, and so that human beings can understand technical manuals. There are psychologists who work in the workplace, and there actually is a APA has a, and many states have awards for people who work or who have created psychologically healthy workplaces, and I've seen some of those awards at some of the conferences I've been to. People who have childcare in their workplace, yoga at lunch, different kinds of lifestyle opportunities to help the workplace be more psychologically mm-hmm. healthy.
Well, over the years, in fact, it was almost, if I recall, a scandal back in the 20s or 30s, was it Watson, or I don't remember exactly which psychologist, that got involved in the advertising industry and would help the industries and businesses formulate and design their advertising to really sell more products.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but for some reason, some peers thought that wasn't really the thing to be doing at the time. But I know, even now with industrial people, yes, that's part of
what is persuasive to
is to how to do you present something in a way that would be more likely to be received by a specific audience. One has to be careful with that on an ethical level, that whatever you're selling
right.
is something that is not harmful and is not going to cause other kinds of issues.
Well, we do have the APA ethical guidelines that dictate things like
exactly
how persuasive we can be, or how mm-hmm. we market ourselves as
precisely
therapists, or whether or not people. Well, part of this is an institutional review board with an academic institution, but if we have human subjects in any of our research, and or animal subjects actually, to look at that the treatment of the human or animal subjects, that they're not being harmed in the research, in the process of the research.
And ethically, we also have limits on what is, we know a psychologist who has certain ideas about theory and principles of human persuasion, that what we can and can't do, for example, with the military.
Sure.
Because I think there was a point within the last 10 or 20 years in which the military and the government was wanting psychologists to help with talking about how to deal with prisoners of war and how to get information and so forth. And an APA, American Psychological Association, very appropriately began to set rules and guidelines on and what could and couldn't be done. Because, again, ethically, one has to set that as the primary goal of your conduct rather than what would be maybe seemingly convenient for those who wanted certain kinds of data or information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, One thing that I found very fascinating, too, is the role of psychologists in space.
Mm.
NASA. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, for my dissertation research, we used a test devised by NASA, which they used to test the astronauts before they went into space and then following going into space. It's very difficult to measure short-term changes in how a person thinks or reacts or responds to a test situation, but they devised a computer test that you needed both hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to train for the test, sort of like a game, mm-hmm. to figure out how to do it. And then they could use that as a pretest before the astronauts left for space. Then they could do it during space, and then they could do it when they return, trying to get at what are the short and maybe the longer term mental and educational and psychological effects of being in space.
Yeah.
And so I was privileged to get to use one of their instruments in my research measuring short-term changes with a medication for folks with some mm-hmm. learning processing difficulties. So, but it's fascinating that you could go into so many branches within this field, and that we need young people for every single one of those.
We do.
Big outreach is needed to encourage you, and you will be encouraged to come if you knock on the door. In fact, I know Arliss has hosted many young psychologists, getting them involved in research projects that would help them learn and integrate into the psychological field. Even in high school, there are things you can do by maybe volunteering at a local lab mm-hmm. or with a local psychologist or counselor to work maybe with some of the children there. So even as a young person, you could get started having experiences that will shape your thoughts and responses for someday becoming a psychologist.
Yes, I think that as a field, I'm obviously biased because I followed it in a minute, but I think human beings are extremely interesting and in everything we do. So yeah. So it's yes. certainly a job that keeps me on my toes and keeps me interested in my colleagues who do lots of different things. I often find our conversations to be very exciting and stimulating, and they pique my curiosity. Yeah.
There can always be something new, I would imagine.
I think so.
I'd like to say that this has been very interesting. Dr. McKinney coming on this program, Health and Happiness, 95.9 KGVN, Gallatin Valley Radio. And you can listen to it, or your family can, on kgvm.org. Either live, which is passed now, but one can go to the website and look up Health and Happiness and see the programs that have happened in the past, and this will be included, that you can listen again, anybody can. And we encourage anyone out there listening, if you have an idea that you want us to think about, or you have an issue that you want to discuss, it's psychologically related, mental health, health and happiness, we'd be happy to entertain it. But I did say, I think, or maybe I forgot to say, that the Montana Psychological Association Public Education Division is a sponsor of the program and aided by a contribution from individuals in the community. And we thank you for listening again. Go to the website, take a listen, and we thank you for your attention on this evening.
One more time. Your name, phone number, and office?
Okay, Dr. Michelle McKinney at Big Sky Psychological Consortium, 406-586-3301.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.